Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Dave. Oh, man, what a week this has been. Woohoo! Yes, you hear no intro music today. Something told me to just double check and see if things were going to be as planned. But you know what? Got into the show and the chat room a little bit earlier today, and there was that little area code in front of me, and I thought, I'm going to answer the phone and see who this is. So we've got our guest early, and I'm so psyched. No need to wait, because I figure if he's ready, I'm ready. And he was talking some bold shiggity to me last night on Facebook, so I'm going to get to that right away. This is the extraordinary saxophonist and songwriter, Ed All. And we're going to find out just how Ed All that is, because he's got some stuff in the works, and I'm excited for him. Ladies and gentlemen, Tony Exum, Jr. Woo-hoo! Hey, you.
Hey, what's going on?
I'm just good now because you called early, and I think that I needed you to call early, Tony, because I needed to have something push me right there in the backside. Thank you.
See, I told you I was ready for you.
You
Ladies
did.
And gentlemen, I'm ready.
You talked some smack last night, and I went, look at you being all bald and everything.
Yeah, it comes out every now and then.
I love it. How are things in Colorado?
Not too bad, actually. Not too bad. Just days are beautiful days, not too cold.
You're probably warmer than we are in Baltimore right now, aren't you?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're going to hit the probably the 50s today, is what they say.
Get out of town, really?
Yeah.
You know what? People can say what they want, but Al Gore was right. I don't care what anybody says. This is some global warming stuff happening here. Everything is changing. The folks who are supposed to get the freeze and the cold are not, and the folks who are supposed to have the more mild temperatures are getting slammed. So,
yeah.
Phew. Wow. Well, enjoy your weather. You've got, Tony, God, you've got so much going on. You do. I feel your excitement when I go to your page sometimes.
You know, I'm happy. It's exciting. You know, it's going to be a good year. And,
yeah, it is.
I'm just trying to make sure that I'm not just musically prepared for it, but just mentally, you know, and emotionally prepared for it. I think some things are definitely going to change for the better this year. So I'm keeping my thought process, you know, positive and just happy to still be making music, you know, and that's a gift, as I've always said. And
definitely.
You know, so I can't even put it into words, you know, it's just an exciting time. I hope that everyone will continue to support and, you know, and the music that I'm working on, you know, gets released this year, and there's some good shows coming up, so I'm just generally excited for what I have in store right now.
Yeah, I did notice some shows coming up, and we're going to get to that. I wanted to mention something to you about Najee, who was with us on Tuesday, and
yes.
I know that you're a fan, and Tony, he said something, and I'm going to throw it out there to you, and we might get a little controversial this hour, but it'll be all right, and we may not. It just we'll let things go organically. But Najee said something that was really important, because I heard that Najee was chafing a little bit about the box that he felt confined to be in. And I asked him about that, and he said, yeah. And he said that he is a little tired of some folks getting the attention, the same old people at the festivals and the shows, and folks then wonder, hey, how come we're not selling as many tickets? And Najee suggested, well, if you would mix it up a little and put some cats in there or kitties that belong in the mix that you are not getting enough attention to, you could make some more money because folks want to see new faces. What do you think of that?
You know, if I had Najee's personal phone number right now, I would have to call him and say, thanks.
I knew it.
Email, thanks, Doc. Thank you, and thank you. And coming from a guy like him, who is a pioneer, who helped create another style or kind of fusing another direction of what we was labeled contemporary jazz at one point in time, to hear him say that means a lot. That just lets me know kind of caliber of a musician he is, or just a level of his character, because the level, if the playing field is kind of level now with the way that things are being done in the music business. Things have changed so much.
Yeah.
How music is marketed, how it's created, how it's presented, how it's recorded, and how it's heard. So for someone who is like now, who's still to me like a hero, but almost like competition in a way, not in a bad sense, you know, just in the sense that, you know, you're exposed to the same exact audience as an indie artist, as the guys that you know, help create the genre, the guys that are more established. So for him to say that, then that should be, I hope some promoters were listening. That should help somebody take notice that there is a lack there. Now, what he's also speaking on indirectly is the new thing about, and I'm going to say this, and this might hurt me, but I'm on Trisha's show. I got to keep it real.
Go ahead, baby.
This is the place to do it. No, just the new jazz fest, which is just, okay, let's get some jazz artists and throw a bunch of R&B headliners on top to sell tickets. You know. And it's okay to have some R&B in there. You know, I understand how demographically speaking that makes sense, because the same audience that likes someone like Najee might like one of our R&B heroes as well. However, it's not a jazz festival.
That's correct.
If all of your headliners are R&B artists, it's no longer a jazz festival. So you've just got rid of a lot of people who really want to come to hear jazz. Having one or two R&B, you know, exciting R&B artists is fine. But when your whole premise is just nothing but that, and then all of a sudden, you know, all the jazz artists are put on the back burner, and then, of course, you've got the recycled kind of a lineup, then what is that doing for the genre? What is that doing for, you know, moving things forward? I had a conversation with another national artist that's a buddy of mine. He's like telling me that this is the only genre of music that doesn't make a priority to introduce new artists. And he said, you know, it's just, it's really bad. And some of the older guys are saying, listen, you guys are our key to the new audience, and we're your key to the more established audience. So we have to work together. Because those established artists, they're going to get their money regardless. They're going to play. They're always going to be booked in one way or another. But when you wonder why the festival excitement has kind of waned, is because of the very thing that Najee said. So that's why I'm co-signing, because Najee said it. And a lot of us wouldn't be here had it not been for what he did for us and the records that he sold and the things that he did musically to open up the doors for younger saxophone players to do that style of music, you know. So there it is, you know. And I feel the same way. It's a challenge. It's frustrating, you know, because, like, why is it now that your acceptance into the festivals or into gigs is based on what you've done or how much money you spent on your campaign to get certain people to hear or see you, as opposed to how talented you are, your grassroots fan base, the demand for you as an artist, and the fact that you can put on a good show and you've got good music, you know. And so I'll also say this, there's some guys that aren't the best players in the world, but they have that other side of the fence, getting them out there. And that's not fair either. So it's like, let's get back to the meat and potatoes of this. What happened to this guy can play? He puts on a great show. Let's give the people something to look forward to. This is a new artist. He's awesome. Here's his music, you know, and let us do a 45-minute, even if it's an opening set, just to introduce us. And then we'll have to take it from there, because you still have the same things that you have to do in the music business, there's still the same blueprint that a similar blueprint that we all have to follow on the business end. But, you know, it makes me mad when I know artists have spent lots of money on radio campaigns that can play, and they chart on Billboard, but they're not playing anywhere. And there's guys like myself who are trying to play everywhere who haven't had the radio promo that these other guys have, but we're still kind of in the same boat because, you know, I've been told, well, you know, people aren't going to take you seriously if you don't do this, this, and this. I'm like, but what about my fans? What about the fact that, you know, if you look at social networking, you know, how I've been able to interact with them on a consistent basis and what people are saying about me or my music. And so it's like a catch-22 either way, and that's the problem. That's what Najee is talking about, you know, on another end. I'm coming from an indie artist perspective, but I'm co-signing on what he said because it's tough. And then, yes, this is the music business, and everybody's not going to be successful all at once, but there's room in this jazz genre for a lot of us to do our thing because there's so many people out there that like this music, and they're looking for it. They're looking for new artists. They're like, yeah, let's hear something different. You know, what
that's
does this
correct,
guy have to
correct.
Say? What does he have to say? And if you just give us that chance, then it's up to us to be able to capitalize on that. Just give us the shot to get heard, you know, on these stages. There's, what, 500 festivals around the world? 250 super clubs?
Right,
and you're booking the same 30 artists?
Yes. Oh, my
you know,
God.
Like,
you have,
please explain.
There's so much you've touched on. And here's the bottom line. First and foremost, it has to be said that, you know, I don't want to hear anymore. I don't think Najee wants to hear anymore. And I know you don't want to hear anymore. People lamenting about the passing of jazz in general and then, you know, smooth jazz as the subgenre, because the fact of the matter is that some of these same old folks have gotten a little lackadaisical as far as performance is concerned and material. And if you continue to foist mediocrity in our faces, we're going to go away as people who patronize the venues or the shows or the festivals. So people have to get on board. I mean, I know that you're out there toiling in the fields. You have made a name for yourself. And without a whole lot of help, it's been Tony Exum Jr. doing this. So,
absolutely.
You know, that's a big deal. When you have garnered the kind of fan base that you have garnered, it's not because you're just good looking.
Well, aren't you a sweetheart? Thank you.
Well, you know, it's got to be said, Tony. There's a whole lot of substance behind the way that you play. And I'm noticing now that somebody is holding who's a 301 area code, so I'll get to this phone number in just a minute. I think I might know who's on hold for you. But you just said a mouthful. And here's something. You said something about Najee's character. This is something that needs to be mentioned. What he didn't say was that he puts his money where his mouth is in pertaining to you mentioning these artists who are up and coming who don't get a chance. Najee, if you go to his website, he's got there someplace, and you have to look for it. He's got a woodwind workshop where he works with kids in order for them to get a leg up, just like he had a leg up when he was a young'un.
Exactly.
That speaks everything.
That speaks volumes. You have to give back. That's the only way that any kind of music is going to push forward. You can't monopolize any kind of genre, and because there's another generation coming up. If this music is going to move forward, then we have to reach the kids. And see, the ironic thing about this whole situation is, who had the number one record last week? Two kids who are under 25. Nicholas Cole featuring Vincent Ngala had the number one record in smooth jazz on Billboard last week. Two very deserving artists. So what is that telling you? Obviously, we're not really worried about the age thing. It's about the substance of the music. And if they happen to be very young, that's incredible. But so let's not forget that Grover was in his late 20s when he popped on the scene. Najee was in his early 30s, late 20s when he came out. You know, same thing with Kenny G. So again, I was told at one point in time, like, Tony, don't worry about it. You got time because you're only in your 30s. You probably won't be successful until you're in your 40s. Like, don't even worry about it. That was before Eric Darius. Then Eric Darius came out and shut everybody up and said, no, we can do this too. And then Jakeem came right after that and pushed it even further, you know, as far as the younger, and I'm talking saxophone players, but, you know, you have to give back. You just have to. There's no question about it. If you're not giving back in some way, some form or fashion, and it's not, and I'm talking about giving back in a way that doesn't draw attention to yourself or your brand. You're just doing that because you're a musician who understands how the legacy has been passed on, because that's where it all comes from. Every artist that has ever done anything huge in this business had a school of followers and probably had guys that were right on his wing that had an influence on him, that he had an influence, he or she had an influence on in some form or fashion. So even myself, there's a 16-year-old, 17-year-old kid here in Colorado Springs. His name is James Duckery. He hits the stage with me just about every time I play at home, and I push him all the time. I've given him, like, he got his first metal mouthpiece from me. I just gave it to him. I was like, you know what? You need to know what this feels like here. I didn't say, okay, tell your grandfather to give me $50 for it. I was like, look, dude, try this out. Because that's what you do. You know, he's going to remember that. He's going to remember these YouTube videos of him on stage with me when he gets to his next level. And I'm doing that because the kid is talented and he deserves a shot, because I didn't really have that in the same form or fashion. So, you know, I owe it to myself to help any kid who comes up to me and says, hey, could you show me some things? I mean, that should be automatic. That's just like picking up your horn and practicing every day. And so I applaud any artist, particularly Najee, who's doing what they're doing. That's important.
But Tony, you know what? This is the thing. You were raised right. A lot of these folks don't think about that. I just had a communication with Sean Michael Ray, who is a fabulous bassist based in Atlanta. And he's friends with my friends, Eric Essex and Tracy Hamlin. And, you know, he's toured with Maxwell. He has a new CD out, and featured on it is a voice. And I wasn't familiar with the voice. I said, let me know who this person is. He said, glad you asked. She's 16 years old. She's in my church. Her nickname is Halo.
Wow.
Her voice is like an angel. I'm telling you, you're feeling Jesus in the room when she sings. And I said, please let her know that she's got to continue with this. And he said, I will. I said, no, Sean, really, it's important for young people to understand how much of an inspiration they are when they're that age. Because if they don't, if they get the naysayers going, well, you know what, don't waste your time thinking about music because you're not really that great. It really destroys them. Oh, my God. You know, you have to be encouraged. So, oh, my God, we could talk for days about this.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I want to say that Sean Michael Ray is a beast. I had a chance to sit in with him at Acoustics last November. I was in Atlanta for a couple of days, and him and Phil Davis and some really awesome cats in Atlanta. I just came in to meet Doc Robinson in person, and, you know, I just did a Just for Art and George show with Dee Lucas in Birmingham that same weekend, but I stayed in Atlanta and went down there and got a chance to jam with him. So he's an excellent bass player, and
great
guy. I wish him all the success in the world. Great person. Yeah, he was real cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's real magnanimous, too. And see, what you said about bringing important people, young people, onto the stage with you. This goes without saying, but it has to be said in this particular part of the conversation. You know, there are all different kinds of sax players, all different kinds of bass players, and each person is different. Each brings something special to the table. And if we could possibly let everybody else know in the world, if this message could just be cemented in people's minds, you don't have the right to get intimidated by anyone, because God's got a gift for you that he doesn't have for anybody else. That's it.
That's what it is. And when you know and you recognize it's a gift and it's not bestowed upon everyone, but you have a chance to be a vessel, in one way or another to reach people through music, you have to take advantage of it. And to me, it's almost akin to, it's almost disrespectful to me if you have a gift and you're not using it.
Yep.
You know, you have to recognize it and use it in one way or another. It may not be, everybody, you know, may not be an artist, you know, a national artist, or if you're using your gift for just where you are, you know, and it just makes people happy on whatever level it is, as long as you are recognizing that gift and trying to use it in the best way you possibly can, you know, unselfishly, I think that's important. So, you know, a lot of people know this about me. I've mentioned it. And I never looked at this as a deterrent. I'm asthmatic. Thought I would outgrow it, but I won't. And I have other, you know, silly respiratory issues that I shouldn't be able to hold a note as long as I can sometimes, or be able to play. I've been on stage with asthma symptoms just trying to get through a gig. You know, because I had no choice, you know. I was keeping my inhaler in my pocket just in case, you know. And right now I'm actually participating in this asthma study, this clinical study, because the National Jewish Hospital is in Denver, and that's like the best, one of the best asthmatic hospitals in the world.
Wow.
To try to get it under control, and try to see what I need to do as my career, you know, gets further along, to stay healthy, because I've had a few scares the last couple of years, you know, a few ambulance rides, something like that, just because of my
Tony.
Asthma. So
Oh, my gosh.
You're telling me, you know, I shouldn't be able to play like this, so I'm thinking I have no choice but to do what I was given and do something positive with what I was given. And that's why I go through the hard times and go through the rough stuff on the business end, because at the end of the day, I'm still going to play the saxophone regardless. And I tell the cats and I, we talk about this all the time, like you have those moments when the musician in you conflicts with the businessman in you, you know, and you just want to play, but it's not always the best situation, but you still do it because you're reaching a fan or two out there who's going to allow you to have more fans and more appreciators, which you need to survive in this business. But on the more organic side of things, making people happy, making someone feel good, you're making somebody's day better because of your talent. And what better legacy to have than that, you know, when the CD stops selling.
Yes. And you do know, hopefully you do. If not, you need to reach out and you two need to communicate. You know that Jared is also asthmatic.
No, I didn't know that. And I've met Jared.
Yes. Matter of fact, it was a tricky kind of life or death situation when he was a little guy, because doctors said this is not a good condition. He's got to make sure that he strengthens his respiratory, the whole respiratory situation that he has. So that's why he started on sax. Oh, no, you and he need to talk, because Jared's doing a whole bunch of other stuff, and he could be a world of inspiration and encouragement for you.
Oh, absolutely. I respect him as a player. I met him at the first Lemonade Weekend back in 2011, you know, and he was really cool. I sometimes wonder, what would I sound like if I did have asthma? I can only guess that maybe there might be certain aspects of my playing that might be a little stronger, but I don't think about it. I've been playing since I was 11, so, I mean, it's just like putting on my shoes every day. It's just natural for me, but, you know, I'm still trying to get better, because music is a journey of growth, and I don't care how old or how young you are, what level you start, there's always room for improvement. There's always room to focus on a certain kind of music, a certain stylistic aspect that you can be better at, and that's what makes it fun, because you're reaching for something. And overall, the totality of your musicianship will have an exponential growth if you're always trying to get better, you know. So I'm still trying to be a better saxophone player at the end of the day, regardless of what I'm able to do career-wise that I've been thankful for. Every day I'm trying to figure out, how can I be a better player? How can I do this better? You know, what's lately I've been listening to like live recordings and really studying things that I do well, things that I think I can get better at. It's just part of the process. And I can, like I said, I can only guess that my asthma, if I didn't have it, you know, but I don't worry about that, you know. It's just take care of yourself and do what you do best. So
well,
I definitely want to reach out to Jared.
Yeah, do that. And here's these are not similar circumstances, but Wayne Escoffery was on the show a month or so ago, and he's a different breed of cat. He came from the UK. His mom and he left a domestic violence situation. His father was, it was not cool to be around his dad, so they came to the U.S. And, you know, here's what he did. He channeled all of that that he couldn't express into his saxophone. I'm not sure he felt really healthy for a while, but he channeled all of that into his sax. That's what you do. You know, you gain momentum with feeling as good as you can, and you channel all of that, the hunger that you feel, into your saxophone. And you're always going to be cool, because guess what? You'll have more authenticity than a lot of people who take that instrument for granted.
Yeah, it's and I'll say this, and I'm going to be a bit transparent, you know, in regard to his situation. You know, I can relate. I had kind of a tumultuous childhood as well, with a step parent, and so I know how that feels. You know, so in addition to being an asthmatic kid, you know, I had some things I had to deal with and cope with and endure. And music was another way that I got away from that mentally and emotionally. That was like another channel that I think stopped me from being an angry teenager, you know, and rebellious. So
yes.
I had a focus that I was given. And that's why when I say it's a gift and I'm so eternally thankful, because music probably will stop me from making some bad decisions, because typically, you know, kids that go through some of that stuff, they have a, you know, weird phase that they go through. But that love for music that was instilled in me from my mother and other family members, particularly my uncle who started me on the saxophone, that was so in, it was so much in my inner being that I couldn't see myself doing anything else, and that's where I went. That was a place I created for myself, dealing with some abuse. And so, you know, you can imagine the strength that God gives you to get through that, to not quit. To, you know, use that gift. That's why I tell people, if you have a gift, use it in some form or fashion, because it's more than just a gift. Sometimes it's for you.
Oh, it's your what would you do if you couldn't play the sax? I mean, that's your second skin. Cora Bryant, the amazing legendary trumpetist who really paved the way for that big Central Avenue African-American growth of jazz back in the day, I mean decades ago, she told me at one time, oh my God, this image just burns in me forever. She says, and she's elderly now, but she's still with us, by God, she's nearing 90. She sleeps with her trumpet. She sleeps with her trumpet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's nothing
that's
wrong with that.
Right. I mean, that's her boyfriend, and your sax is your girlfriend, you know? I mean, people have to understand when they come into your life. It's not necessarily that people take a back seat, but I can't understand women who come into men's lives, for example, and they're so impressed when they first meet them, but then when they get involved in the relationship, you know, how come you're not giving me this time? How come I'm not first? Dude, shut up.
Oh, my goodness. That's a whole other interview with me. that's a sidebar interview on Dr. Phil or something with me, man, because, I mean, to talk about the story of my life, I mean, I just to make this really short, I'm just thinking, I was telling my mother the other day, I was like, Mom, I just can't get it right. You know, like, what am I doing wrong? And, you know, what can you do? Another, just be patient, and hopefully that right young lady comes into your life that says, you know what, I like your talent, I respect your talent, but I want to know who Tony is. And,
right.
And that's what's most important to me, and I got your back. And what people don't realize, that musicians kind of want someone that they can support as well. Like, there's that time that horn is in that case, or that keyboard's in that case, or that bass or whatever, and we're just our regular, everyday selves. And we have the same ups and downs, and some of us are parents, and we have to put that horn down and be daddy or uncle or whatever. And we had to step away from it. So, you know, there's a tricky balancing act that has to happen with that, but it's not impossible. Two of the greatest people that I respect so much that I've gotten to know a little bit are Gerald Albright and Glynis.
They're
like the
yeah.
best couple.
Yes.
You know, they've been together for years, and they've made it work, you know, somehow. And Gerald's like a legend, so I'm pretty sure, you know, he's always on the road. And, you know, and she has her own thing, you know. Anybody, if you guys get a chance to go to JustSweetEnough.com and get Miss Glynis's desserts.
Oh, Lord.
You would not be dissatisfied. You will probably have to run or walk on a regular basis because her food is the bomb. I'm telling you, I know. So, I mean, you know, it can happen. It can work. But some days, you know, I just think like, okay, what am I doing wrong? Like, you know. And so it's just a process that I think all musicians have to go through. Some of us have been fortunate enough to have that person from day one. And others, you know, you kind of have to go through some relationships and some ups and downs, and then hopefully you have the discernment to realize there she is or there he is and take it a step further or make that work. But, you know, you're right. It's funny how people come into your adult life and start trying to kind of tell you what you can do, when you can do it, who you can be friends with, when you can practice. I had a girl friend tell me when I can practice. I was like,
man.
You know? And then she called me her dad said I was a starving artist. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, part of the process, you know, when you make that commitment, you're going to go through some ups and downs. Every musician's been through, whether you did it at 17 or you did it at 37. You know, it's going to be sometimes, and even guys who are established have those starving moments. You know, the music business is up and down. It can be really good sometimes and really bad other times. So any person that's with you has to understand that those ups and downs just because of the business, not necessarily just the musicianship. So that's what this song on my first record, T.T. Heartbreak, is all about, because when we broke up, I was like, man, you know, I thought we were good. And come to find out, she's still a friend of mine. She's very much supportive of my music, but she just couldn't be that woman that was with me. That was too much for her. And
well,
she was
really
honest about that. But that's fine. You know, it was just like when you start telling me when I can practice or, you know, and you start saying stuff like, well, okay, you're putting out a CD, so what? I'm like, okay.
Oh,
you know.
Man. Oh, man. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, but
no.
You know, but guess who was at the CD release party, you know? Like, it's all good.
and it's no bad blood.
It's no hard feelings, but that's what musicians go through. You know, we get our hearts broken. Y'all think we just surrounded by groupies all the time. Like, you know, I'm like, man, I'm a jazz artist, and I'm an up-and-coming jazz artist. You know, when I'm on the road, it's flight, hotel, sound check, back to hotel, gig, hotel, home. You know, it's not even, it's all business. Or better yet, you know, depending on the gig, it's flight straight to rehearsal for 5 hours, back to the hotel, grab something to eat, go to bed, get up, sound check, and the process starts all over again. It's not this lifestyle that everybody wants to feign when you're up and coming. I'm pretty sure that we all have that, you know, we're all, when you get to a certain level, you're going to go through that phase. But keep in mind that, you know, this is a more mature music, I guess, and so it's not that kind of crazy stuff going on. You know, I mean, you know this, Trish, the smooth jazz crowd, if it gets too late, you know, the gig is over. You know, we can't play past unless it's really slamming. You know, we're about at that 11:30 kind of curfew, like, okay, when y'all going to be done? Because that crowd, you know, is not the let's stay out till 2 in the morning kind of thing. So it's a different kind of situation.
I got to tell you, you're keeping company with the smooth jazz crowd a lot more than I am these days. So you know more about that than I do, because I'm hanging out with everybody who plays, you know, jazz,
right,
whether it's smooth or straight ahead or whatever. But you know
right.
what? You definitely, you recorded Can You Stand the Rain just because of all that you have just said, because that's what you're looking for. You're looking for a can-you-stand-the-rain kind of partnership.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I need. I mean, ladies, if you're listening, if you can stand the rain, I guarantee you I will make you the happiest woman on the planet, okay? Just trust me on that. You will be 125%, okay? Not just 100, 125. just got to stand the rain. It's going to get a little rough every now and then, but I got the umbrella. Let's do this.
There you go. There you go, talking smack again. 125%.
You know, I can't count on being a young buck no more. Not that I'm old, but, you know, I'm in my 30s. I mean, I got to find her. I got little girls to look up to, you know, like, where's she at? But, you know, it'll happen when it's supposed to. You know, I'm not tripping, but that's what it's all about, though, you know. And that's one of the reasons why I did that song, because not only because New Edition is my ultimate favorite group and Ralph Tresvant was, like, one of my idols growing up. It's a beautiful song, and even when it came out, you know, it resonated with people because it was, like, kind of galvanized them as being, you know, an adult group now. They were no longer the bubblegum, whatever they were trying to call them before. But also, you know, it made people think, because most songs were either about, you know, lovemaking or you broke my heart. And they're saying, look, if you can stand this rain, it's going to get rough. I just want to know if you'll still be there. That's a question that a lot of ballads didn't ask back then. And so that's why
that
song, 25 years later, is a classic.
It really is. I mean, it just is so moving to think about it. And I posted your take on it on my Facebook page earlier, because this is something that people, we really do have to get real as much as we can. We got to stop all the so-called rules that other people have insisted on us playing by. It doesn't matter anymore. Folks are dropping like flies, and it doesn't matter how old people are. You know, what is important to you in this life? What is it that you want? We don't have time to pussyfoot around and wonder or postpone it. It's now.
It's now. Yeah, and that's something that you people really have to understand with the times we're living in. It's about everything starts from now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you almost can't even think 5 years from now, from this date. You have to think about right now and making sure that, and I had a pretty tough year, you know, personally with a lot of loss over the last year. And it happens to everybody, and I come from a pretty big family. So, you know, you start to see as you grow older, almost like a whole generation starts to leave you. You know, it actually starts with your great-grandparents, if you had a privilege to even know them. But I've watched, you know, like my grandparents, brothers, and sisters all just one by one go over time. And so now, you know, a few of them are still left on both sides, but I'm down to one grandmother and one grandfather. And so I cherish them like I did the other ones that were here, you know. But that time is going to it's just going to come. And what hit me really hard is it let me know, like, where I'm at in life. It's like, okay, this is the part of your life that people start leaving you, that have been with you your whole entire, you know, youth. And, you know, you start to hit your mid-30s, and all of a sudden you're realizing that, okay, if I'm 35, 36, that means my parents are here, my grandparents are here. Cherish those moments, because it's just the way life is. So you don't have time, you know, to be messing around, worrying, and getting too caught up, you know. And I say that a lot of for musicians as well, because as this music business turns, it'll never be what it used to be as we were growing up, which is sad. But there's something that we can do with the way things are now to make music still as enjoyable and still as important as it always has been. So I try not to waste any time, you know, worrying about this and that. It's like, okay, every day what can I do to further my career or just keep my work consistent? But then you have to turn that off and think about the people that are around you that just love you for who you are, you know, and keep those people close, because in this business, you know, it's tough. And the circle, that's why a lot of musicians, the circle starts to get smaller as they get more popular, because it's almost like a protection to a degree. And I'm learning firsthand right now how to be accessible but not too accessible. It's a learning process, I think, that any musician who's growing will go through. And so you hit the nail on the head. I mean, I don't think we do have a lot of time to be worrying about different things. And I've lost people this year that were not that much older than me.
Really?
You know, so, you know, grandparents is one thing. Great aunts and uncles are one thing. But when someone's, like, just 10 years older than you and they're just gone one day, you know, or 13 years older than you, and all of a sudden they're here one minute, gone the next, that hits you hard. And one person in particular, this has happened for me in December, was another mentor in my musician career who put me in the studio for the very first time. Very first time I ever recorded anything. with this particular person when I was like 17, 18 years old. And that's, you know, you never forget that moment or that experience. And we stayed close because he was close to the family up until his untimely passing. And, you know, the last conversation I had with him was just about how proud he was because he remembers when I was that kid, hungry in the studio, just trying to soak in all this. And I was like, wow, you know, I can't believe I'm in here doing this. And I did countless sessions with him, just demo after demo after demo, just when he was writing songs for other artists. And he would just let me play on stuff. You know, it wasn't even like he would call me and say, hey, I got this song. I would just show up, and he'd like, you know what, throw some horn on here. Let's see how that works. So I got a chance to get, like, Studio 101 in my freshman year of college, you know.
Bless his heart.
And this is before home studios. This is before, you know, Pro Tools and all that stuff. This is like right as that was starting to be developed. So this is when cats were still going to actual studios, you know, at least around here, to record. And I'll never forget. I'm still trying to find the tape. Yes, I said tape of that song because I had it on a cassette. And then I think it transferred to CD later. But this is before, you know, audio files. This is like we still had DATs. You know, and so he was a good guy and extremely talented, and so I think his passing probably really resonated a lot of what you just said, you know, inside of me. So that's why, you know, just like we said earlier, this year is going to be great. I'm just speaking it because I'm just looking forward to just some more experiences and some new music and meeting new people and playing new venues, the whole nine, you know. So I have a lot to look forward to.
New beginnings, that's what it is.
Yeah.
This year is all about fresh starts, new beginnings, and we're not going to take anything but that.
Exactly.
That's it.
Exactly.
You know what? We have talked all this time, and usually it's not this way at all, but, you know, you needed to talk, and I needed to listen. We all needed to listen. But I want to play a couple of tracks for sure that you made sure that I got. Some I had, and you know what I'm going to save till last. But you mentioned Nicholas Cole, and I thought we could play right there, right there.
Oh, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a Nicholas Cole production. This young brother is just off the chain. And Nicholas, if you're listening, man, congratulations on the number one record. Once again, you deserve it. And
okay.
I'm thankful that you took some time to produce a track for me. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Right There, produced by Nicholas Cole.
There you go, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
We'll be right back.
Tony Exum Jr., if you get any more lung power, I'm going to get scared. Woo! Right there. Yeah, it was. As a matter of fact, from the one on Hybrid Jazz. And look, you know, I'm just going to take a chance. And Griselda, by the way, Griselda says hello from Texas. Hello,
hey,
Tony.
Hey, Griselda, how you doing?
Beach is in Southern California. She's on the phone, and we both want to know, we all want to know, actually, who's still holding. So I'm going to find out if it's okay with you, Tony.
Of course. Please.
Okay. Let's see. 301 area code. Enter and sign in, please. Hello, who is this?
Hello, hello. This is Micah.
Oh, it's Micah. Hi, Micah. Oh, hi.
Hi,
I didn't know. Tony, this is, you know each other, don't you?
We do. We have recently graced the stage together, and we just had a very long telephone conversation. So she's my new friend.
Oh!
How you doing,
sweetie? You know,
well,
thanks for calling me.
There's something
so
I want to say, and I'm not even going to say it. I'm going to zip my lip and go on to another topic, because we were just talking about stuff, and Micah, you just heard, and you can say it from the other perspective about somebody not understanding what you're doing. So this would be a whole nother hour-long show.
Oh, trust and believe. It would be. And the funny thing is that since I've known Tony, we've been in touch, neither one of us really, you know, when we were talking, I said, you know, you seem like you're a little under the weather, and he was like, yeah. Not once really did he mention I'm an asthmatic, which I am too. We have a very lot in common.
We
oh,
sure do.
Wow.
We have
yeah,
a
no,
lot
great.
In common.
And this lady,
yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, got some pipes on her, so
yes.
Wow, I didn't.
Yes,
my goodness.
She does.
Yeah,
all right, so I'll
some...
call you later. And we'll talk about
almost
we'll talk about inhalers and stuff.
I was in remission for like 5-6 years, and I
really
can tell you how I did that.
Good. Well, you know, if you're talking to each other and you're both coughing, it's going to be cool. So,
yeah. You
know, oh goodness.
You know, and Tony, did I just hear you say? I wouldn't have said it unless I just heard you say a couple of seconds ago, wow, that's cool. So who else is going to say that unless it's somebody who relates to it?
We could, you know, as fellow asthmatics, we could compare notes, you know, like
yes.
Inhalers.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
We can go pick at the pharmaceutical companies that charge so much for those little tiny things, you know.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. Yeah, it's crazy because if she has asthma, then, Micah, you understand the seriousness of it. But, you know, it probably, like it does me, drives you to keep going, you know.
I've been on stage before when I didn't know where my next breath was going to come from in order to get
something
out.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Yeah. It's that serious.
Yeah, it can be that serious.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have, and believe me, you know, most asthmatics have a what they call a rescue inhaler in their pocket, in their case, somewhere close by.
Somewhere nearby.
You know, so sometimes I'll have it right by my sack stand in case I need to grab it. And I'll run off stage and puff before I do it in front of people just because I just doesn't want to, it's a bad look, but. There's sometimes where it doesn't matter. It's like, okay, I need this right now, and I'm sorry, you guys. Let me do this real fast, and I'll continue my solo. But, and I think what I want to do, you know, I want to make sure that I'm doing my part to let kids know who have asthma that they can do this. You know, they can be singers, they can be instrumentalists, you know, not to let that illness, you know, stop them because – it was just an offhand comment to one of my parents about me. Because, of course, I wanted to play sports, but I have, you know, allergic asthma, so it's exercise-induced. So I tried to play ball growing up, and I did. But it wasn't something that I could do like everybody else, you know. So they said, well, have him play wind instrument to kind of strengthen his lungs, and the rest is history. So, wow, I didn't know you had asthma. That's crazy.
How about that, yep. Micah? Gosh. And it's so different.
And I grew up a dancer and a singer.
So you really had to exert, and that there was a lot of breath taken out of you. So, man, woo, that's
those things make you stronger, though.
Oh, definitely. And not only that, physically, I mean, when you've just decided that you're going to strengthen up your lungs, but, man, you talk about putting a fire under your butt. To get I'm not going to stand for this. I am not going to do it. I am going to be motivated. I'm going to fight the odds. Period.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it keeps you going. It really does.
It does. It absolutely keeps you going. And sometimes it's an afterthought. You know, other times it's like, okay, why do you want to act up right now? You know, but everybody's symptoms are different. So, you know, you have to, you know, talk about standing in the rain. You know, you got to be the kind of woman, you know, with me that you got to be ready to wake up in the middle of the night and help me find my inhaler if I've lost it, because sometimes I'm like, where is it? And I'm looking on the bedside, and I'm like, okay. And then, you know, there's been times where I get up in the middle of the night and have to run to my car to grab it because it's in
my
glove box or on my passenger seat or something. And that can be worse because it could be cold outside, and as soon as that cold air hits your lungs, now it's worse, you know, so you're scrambling to get to the car and just to get that first puff in, and then after that you're good. You know, that's why when they call it a rescue inhaler, it really is. Now, I take two. I take a steroid every day called Symbicort twice a day.
Yeah, I have that in my bag.
To prevent that. So I don't have to. That way, we heard I don't have to use our rescue inhaler that often. And if you do it regularly, it keeps you nice and open. But there's those moments where you get into a situation where it triggers something, and hopefully it's not when you're on stage, but it happens, and you got to get the other one, and then you got to watch your blood pressure because of what the side effects are. Then if you have too much of that, I'm just saying this because she's on the phone, you know, you got to watch and make sure you don't develop acid reflux because the medicine you take wears down on your esophagus. I mean, it's all kinds of crazy stuff.
Oh, dang. Wow.
You have to go.
Yeah, you know, so, for every upside to the medication, there are about 5 or 6 downsides.
Right.
Oh, well, you're talking pharmaceutical. I know. I know.
So we have to do this. We have to do this daily, you know, and so it's always good to know that a fellow artist can relate, because a lot of people that don't have it have no idea how you're feeling, and it's hard to describe it. You know, it's crazy. So, you know, and what I do with the saxophone is I still practice long tones and those tone development exercises because of what I go through, so that way I stay on top of it. Because sometimes if you have a really bad asthma episode and you're kind of out the count for a little while, you have to kind of strengthen yourself back up to where you once were. If you get sick, you know, and I spent about a week in a hospital in 2012, right after NAMM.
Oh, man.
I had to get driven. That was my first ambulance ride as a result of my
accident. You're breaking my heart here.
Yeah, so I had to, I had to miss a gig with Tim Bowman because I just wasn't ready. And he was so cool about it. You know, Tim is such a good human being. He was like, man, I'm just glad you're all right. I was just worried about you. You know, so I ended up playing one song that night, and I think Darren Ron took my place for that particular show. But I didn't have time to rehearse. You know, I was sitting in the hospital, and by the time I got back to Colorado, because I was in, you know, Southern California, got back home, and now I'm, you know, 6,000 feet above air, so I got to get reacclimated to being in this thin air up here. And so I took another week of recuperation, but, you know, that happens. And that's why I say, you know, you have to buy out the opportune time. You have to make sure that you're on point, because asthma is serious. It's not something that's talked about a lot because it's common, but it's serious, and it's not something to play with. So,
no.
Micah, you know, we go on tour, we got to make sure, you know, we got
that. Well, guess what I have?
What?
I have a portable nebulizer, so, you know,
okay,
we go on tour, you're straight. I have extra But wait, and the funny thing is that it's really little, small, compact thing that you take with you. You can plug it in. You can even, there are even adapters you can use to plug it into like a car. So it cuts down, it cuts down on emergency and hospital visits because it actually saves you money.
My
I have to carry that big thing around. She has to have one of the old school kind of bigger ones.
No, I got a little one.
So when we go on tour, ladies and gentlemen, because it's going to happen, you know, just know that we'll be fine because we got that and and everything else that
well,
we have to take.
Well, see, now what you're saying is this is clearly an indication that you two are supposed to be touring together. So let us just throw that out there, okay?
Speak it into existence.
Yes.
Yeah,
oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the Nebulizer tour.
The Nebulizer tour. Sponsored by Advair, yeah.
There you go. Oh, my God.
You never know.
You know what? You could get your whole doggone prescriptions for free for a year or so. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Man, that would be a dream come true. That's like winning the lotto for asthmatic. Like, really?
That's right. Oh, my God. Here we are cracking jokes about it. Oh, jeez.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
That's right. It's
well,
either...
you know what? This is so funny that you're here, Micah, because Tony sent me the other day, and I got to get to it because this hour has taken on a different flavor. But you know these guys, Joel Del Rosario and Sure Will.
Mm.
And Tony is featured on Cali Soul on this track. And I thought it would be really cool to play since you both know Joel and Will and have worked with them.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun track to play on. Big shout out to Joel and Sure Will.
Yes, yes. I am so glad that I met all of you, you know. Big shout out to Derek Hooks.
Yes,
for putting
Derek,
us all together.
Looking,
I mean,
that's so
incredible.
Cool.
You know, all those guys. You know, Tony, Dee, you know, Joel and Welt, everybody. Just cool people, and you know, have enjoyed getting to know everybody individually, and looking forward to doing more shows and all that good stuff. It's been a good experience.
Well, there will be a lot more of them, young lady, in 2014. We are not looking at this any other way. And here's another thing about 2014. No excuses. You know what I mean?
Thank you. I'm glad you said that.
Yes.
Me too.
Yep. It is. It's just time to put the, oh, well, twirling hair here. I don't know if I can do it. Oh, no.
I'd like to see Tony twirl some hair.
Yeah, right. Okay. Twirling somebody else's hair, which brings me to another resolution for 2014 in the immortal words of Todd Rundgren. We got to get you a woman, Tony.
Please, before I turn 40, can I just make it happen?
Can you stand the rain, woman? You know, I don't know, somebody who gets it, somebody who's not just giving you a rough time.
I got you covered. I got you covered, ladies. Just let me know. I got you covered. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
If you stand the rain,
cool.
you will be smiling constantly. All right, let me stop.
See, he's a good Creole boy.
It's that Creole in me. That's how we do. It's the Creole in me. See,
oh,
Micah's
well,
Creole too. That's why we bonded.
There you go. Oh, my God. Look, you know what? You two have to talk more. That's all there is to it because you've got too freaking much in common not to be on the phone like every day. That's crazy. Man.
That's crazy. I had no idea.
Well, I'm going to play the song, and you two can text or whatever in the background here while we play this. And, yes, we're going to go over, but that's cool because this is why we do hybrid jazz, because it rolls like that.
All righty. I'm going to continue to listen. But
okay.
You guys, I'm going to do that. I'm still going to be listening, though. And
are
yes,
you at
honey,
work?
I will talk to you later.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. You're at work. Oh, my God, Liz. Thanks, Micah.
All right.
Yes, indeed. All right, Micah.
I'll see you guys later.
All right. Bye-bye. Tony, do you have some time to hang just a little bit more?
I sure do.
Okay. Well, this is a 5-minute track. Otherwise, I wouldn't ask. But I really wanted to get Joel and sure will in this mix with you, because this is a very cool track, and we desperately need California Sun, okay? This is why we must play it on Hybrid Jazz.
Right.
Take a listen. Man, that's a pretty sexy song. That whole song says, baby, it's all right. I don't need my nebulizer right now.
You're right. That's exactly what that song says. But see, I couldn't name it that. So Joel said, well, let's just call it Cali Foe. What is a nebulizer anyway? No.
Oh, man.
Goodness.
Wow. It got a little steamy in this room playing that song. That was really, you know, it's so amazing when you hear the chemistry between certain instruments. I mean, your sax and that bass line was so unreal.
Oh,
I mean, I just loved it, man.
Yeah, Joel and Sher Will are some, those boys are bad. I think that particular song, I think, was produced by Joel. And, wow, I mean, ever since I heard him for the first time in 2011, I was just like, you know, you are, like, the best-kept secret. Like, when you finally break out, it's going to be, it's going to be crazy. And he's just again, you know, Joel and both Will, in particular Joel, just a good person. You know, he's just a great human being, you know, family man, Christian, very humble, hardworking. You know, it's kind of catchy when to be around. So I really was honored that both of them said, hey, Tony, you got to get on this record. And I jumped on it. I was like, man, send me the track tonight. I'll go to the studio tonight and get it done. And I think I did that within like a couple of days just because I was so excited. I wanted to, you know, make my mark because I know they were winding down production. I was like, man, just send me whatever it is. I'll play on it. And,
you know, it's so awesome when like attracts like, and you said what you wanted to be around, and the more you project that out in the universe, you need the kind of people that make you grow and flourish, and you need to move forward. If you have any doubts about the kind of folks that you need to be around, you know what? Rely on those doubts. And don't even give it a second thought. Just say, you know what, this time is not going to work out for me, but I might catch you later on down the road. You know, you just can't waste time, Tony, anymore. And those are the kind of people that you need to have to propel you, because you need to be in that right mental state. You need to go down your road, and maybe this is what I'm trying to say, not feel obliged to continue to negotiate or feel as if you owe some folks something. You need to focus on Tony Exum Jr.
Man, and that's been the whole – and for you to say that's got to be – the higher power talking, because I've been hearing that from people close to me for the last probably 90 days, you know. And funny thing is, a lady friend of mine that I've known since I was 2 years old, we were having coffee one day. She said, you know, Tony, you're going to find that woman. She said, this in response to that, she said, maybe one day when you actually focus on yourself for a change. It kind of gave me this look like, Tony, you know, I said, wow, I never thought about it like that. And so you just saying that, it's a beautiful thing, you know, and that's definitely my focus this year. I just really want to grow and enjoy the new experiences. But, you know, I really want to also do some other things, you know, for Tony and for my girls, you know, my daughters.
Yes.
who keep me going, you know, those two. If they can keep me going, when it's them two girls, I mean, they have no idea. I don't get a chance to tell them because, well, my oldest is, she can kind of understand, but my baby, you know, she just loves her daddy. But they have no idea how just them two, on those rough times that all the musicians go through, it's like my girls are what keeps me going. When those days I do like, man, I'm throwing in the towel, forget the smooth jazz stuff. I think about them, and my younger daughter said this to me on the phone one time, and it just really made me smile. She said, dang, Daddy, I remember, now granted she's 9 years old, Because I remember when all you ever did was go back and forth from Denver to Colorado Springs and back and forth, and now you're like all over the place.
Mm.
And I thought, wow. She's like, that's cool. You know, she said, I just can't wait to go on tour with you, is what she told me. But for her to remember, because she was a little girl, and I was just here in Colorado, Springs, Denver, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And say, wow, look at you now, Daddy, all over the place. That, man, that one thing that she said on the phone kept me going, you know, for like weeks, because you don't know who's watching you. And when your own child says, wow, you've grown, Dad, like, I'm proud of you. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
Oh, yeah. How about that? Yeah, that's beautiful. And kids remember the important things they hold close to their soul forever. So, you know, they're going to remember the time that you spent with them, as opposed to, you know, other dads or other moms not being there when it was critical for them to be there. You know, that's important.
Yeah.
Gosh.
So my little one's going to be the musician. She loves music, and my oldest daughter, actually, I did a collaboration with Rod Williams, you know, saxophone player from New Jersey.
Yeah.
My oldest daughter actually recorded my parts because she was taking this class at her school. She goes to like a kind of accelerated high school, and there's a full-fledged studio in this school, Pro Tools, the whole nine, and she was taking an audio engineering course. So I went in there to record my track for Rod as a project for her class, and so she set up my mic, did my sound check, recorded my stuff. Her and another friend went back in there, did a couple little edits, and then sent it to him. So I was like, man, this is wonderful. Yeah, she's my overachiever. She does it all.
So, hey, things could be worse, couldn't they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I love that because, you know, she's got her head on right, and my little one, she's taking piano lessons and singing, you know, at church. So she's the one that I think if anybody's out of the two that are going to be, would want to be in the music business, be my baby girl. She's very creative and very just naturally talented. She called me one day and was playing her little keyboard over the phone. And I don't know, she's like, Dad, I'm playing around. I'm playing something. So she played a little scale. She said, Dad, that's my C scale, and this is my D scale. And then she started playing a couple of chords, and she's like, that sounds like your music, Daddy. And I was like, wow, you're good. But she's been taking lessons and picking it right up. So I'm like, okay, I got to definitely invest in that because she has a passion for it already, and it makes her happy. So, you know, I think she'll be fine if she decides to continue with it. You know, it's up to her. But that's a beautiful thing, too, to see your legacy kind of trickles down to your kids.
And it's in your bloodline because you had Uncle Larry. Uncle Larry gave that little spark to you.
Man, Uncle Larry was like, and you know, so funny, before he died, he and I were like, you know, we got so close, it almost felt like we were brothers as opposed to uncle and nephew. And growing up, you know, he was like a hero because he was like my mom's little brother and is when I was around the most. And so I'll never forget, I saw him play Fort Carson. They used to have this big 4th of July concert with the Army bands back in the 80s. And it was like a whole bunch of people out there. And I'll never forget this. I was watching him on stage playing. I can't even remember what song it was. But it was this point where he broke the band down. He was just playing by himself. And the crowd just went nuts. And I was like,
whoa.
I'm gonna fuck that. That's what I'm going to do. I was like 12. I was like, there it is. That's it. I've decided right now. I'm going to be just like Uncle Larry, like that. And he was like, yeah, man, you can do this. You know, had me backstage with all the cats. And, you know, he decided to step away from music later on, but he always pushed me. And, in fact, the very last thing he said to me was, promise me, Tony, that you will not quit and that you won't let anybody take away from you. Those are the last exact words that he said to me.
Really?
Yep, gave me a hug and said goodbye. And 5 days later, he was gone.
Oh, my God. Oh, see.
Well, I didn't have no choice but to keep going because he looked at me like, do not quit. You will not stop doing what you're doing. I was on my way to a gig. I had Steamboat Springs is a really beautiful resort in Colorado, and I had a four-day engagement with another band, you know, that weekend. So I was on my way to to, you know, drive up that mountain and be with them. And so those are the last words he said to me. He said, promise you don't quit. And so, man, you know, I have no choice. So if he was here, I can imagine, you know, how he would feel. and there's days I think about it, like, man, I wish I could just pick up the phone and be like, oh, check, guess where I'm playing, or listen to this song, or, you know, come with me. But, you know, his what he did for me, even though he stepped away from music, was very important. He was the one person that, in my formative years, understood musicianship and all the stuff that we've talked about today. He was asthmatic too, but he outgrew his. So
interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah. So you know, it's all these different things. You know, and I think a lot of musicians have a similar story. So anybody who's listening that isn't quite out there yet, use that. You know, these are your points of encouragement. This is the stuff you ponder on when those tough times come and you feel like, I don't know where I'm going, I don't know what I'm doing, things aren't working out. It you got to just keep doing it and keep trying to get better. And if you keep doing it and keep trying to get better, it starts to pay off. And this is from somebody that still has a lot of growth. I still have a lot of things to accomplish. So my journey's not done yet. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no. And look, first of all, as many times as people get allergies in their middle age, guess what? You can also outgrow yours. Keep a bookmark in that thought. And secondly, one of these days you're going to be playing somewhere and your Uncle Larry is going to send you a sign.
Yes.
Honestly. There might be a few of them in your career, but that was just the most important thing that has ever happened in your life for him to say that to you before he passed.
Yep. That was, I'll never forget that. And it's so funny, those moments. It was like it was just yesterday. It's been about 11 years since he passed, but I remember what he was wearing. I remember what I was wearing, you know, and the look on his face. And it was cold outside, you know. Just that moment still resonates within me every now and then when it crosses my mind. And I'm just happy I didn't let him down, you know. And but those are those days that I think about that a lot. Excuse me, when those rough times come, when you feel like, man, I don't know what else to do, or, you know, poor gig gets canceled or anything, you know, the little disappointments that come with being an independent artist or even just somebody who's self-employed, you know, you go through it, and it gets rough sometimes. Like, man, I can just go back to playing in cover bands and be fine. And then that thought will come to my head, like, what are you thinking? That's not what you're supposed to do. And remember, I said, don't quit. So it's like, all right, dust yourself off, okay, on to the next, you know, project or opportunity, you know, that's in front of you. And that keeps me going as well. So in addition to my girls, you know, just his last words, just they stay with me. They really do.
And your girls depend on you. And actually, the bottom line is, what are you going to do, laugh in the face of God? I don't think so.
Oh, no. You know, that's the one thing I don't want him to to judge me on, like, I gave you a gift and you didn't use it.
Yes. Yep.
I'd rather, you know, if anything, that's positive. When that day comes, thank you for using that gift that I gave you, because this is what it did.
Yes.
You know, and that's most important to me. So, man, this has been a great conversation. I kind of got a little transparent, but I knew that was going to happen with you. And you're the only person, Trish, that I would have this candid of a conversation with, because I feel comfortable with you.
Well, so. See, and that's what it's all about. And look, you know that I believe and in a few different ways. So it's always going to be safe. And, you know, I'm old enough to be your mama. So it's good that you allowed yourself to be transparent, because this is what makes your music so compelling to people. They relate to it because you allowed yourself to be honest. That means everything.
Yes. And I think, you know, we're human, and people want to know that we're not just these Facebook, you know, or social media personalities, because that medium can allow you to look a certain way. And of course, there's certain things that you just don't do as an artist with a fan base on
yes.
those mediums. But at the same time, you know, they got to, people, I think they need to know. They need to be able to relate to you a little bit. And you just provide a format, you know, with the way you do things, Trish, that make it easy for artists to kind of get a little bit more human, you know, on these conversations. And I, it's just that time, you know. We don't have time to be trying to be fake. You know, them Hollywood days is back here. You know, all that trying to be shy and nonsense and entourage and you know, that them days are gone. You know, fans nowadays, they want to know you. They want to be able to reach out and touch you a little bit. You know,
that
crazy mistake.
You are so right.
That those days are back here. You know, you gotta be real nowadays for people to even take you seriously. And the way that the social climate is now, you almost have to do that to even be relevant, you know. You can't be this guy hidden in the mansion somewhere like it used to be back in the day and still have everybody's conversations. Like, if you're hidden too much, then they're just going to move on to the guy they can actually see and touch and feel to a degree. So you have to, you know, kind of put yourself out there just a little bit, you know. And that's the problem.
You do. And that was another thing we touched on the other day with Najee, and you'll appreciate this. It's not that he reveals himself too much. He knows, like you do, intrinsically, that you can only give so much. You know, you can't give it all out there, and there's too many people who, you know, post a lot of really personal things on Facebook. But you have to have that Twitter thing going. You have to have Facebook going. You have to have a website where people can find you, because you can get lost in the shuffle. And you have to let people know that they can reach out and you'll take their hand, period. That's all.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. And my fans know from Facebook that I'll engage with them, and I try to do different things to just keep a nice conversation going, even if it is about music, but at the same time be relatable and be able to express certain things that are somewhat personal. I mean, I learned good and bad, the easy and the hard way about that. I think there was a transitional point for me about 2 years ago when I realized, whoa, okay, I'm not just Tony from Colorado anymore. I got to be careful now, you know, because I was in that mindset of and this is just being humble, you know, you're still growing, you're still in certain circumstances, so you don't see yourself the way others do. And someone had to remind me, like, wait a minute, you've grown. You're not just a cat from around here. Watch what you're doing on Facebook. You're getting a little too personal there, you know. And it was just an opinion. It wasn't like I said something about myself. It was just an opinion about something that probably kind of went over that boundary, because your fans are going to be all walks of life. And
yes.
They might like your music, but that doesn't necessarily mean they believe the way you do or have the same political ideas or what have you. And so, but that's not important. The universal language in the situation is music. And so if you get a little too opinionated sometimes, you have to be careful. You can turn people on or off in the wrong way. I only want you to, you know, personally like or dislike my music because of how it sounds to you, you know, as opposed to you only liking me because it's called something or because I said I was affiliated with something or whatever. You know, that to me is, we all have our personal differences, but music sometimes is the reason why we can have a conversation with those extreme differences, you know. And so that's what's most important. That's the common denominator. So I had to learn, you know, kind of the hard way, like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Let me delete that status and say something a little more positive. And so ever since then, I've kind of been a little bit mindful about what I say on Facebook, and particularly when you got to that national brand as you grow. Yeah, you definitely have to be careful. But don't be a robot, you know. Don't just be,
exactly,
hey, this is where I'm playing. Hey, listen to this, and here's my new single. You know, sometimes you have to say, hey, man, you know, I just feel like going to Wendy's today. Why? You know, because people be like, I feel the same way. And so they feel like they know you a little bit better because they have something tiny like that that's in common with you. And that kind of keeps you on people's radar. But most importantly, just let people know that, yes, I am an artist, but I'm still a human being, and I have stuff, ups and downs, just like you do. And that's what I love about the social climate now. It's like we don't have that mystique we had when we were growing up for the big major superstars where you just had to guess and you just would brainstorm about what they might be doing. Now you kind of get to know them a little bit, but they're still larger than life in a certain way. You know, when I meet certain people on the road, I'm still like, wow, you know. I can say this humbly, you know, Gerald Albright is a buddy. But I never thought I'd ever be cool with him like that. So there's days I'm like, dang, that's Gerald. When I see him, I still have that same amount of respect that I had as a 15, 16-year-old kid listening to his CDs. And we see each other and we embrace and give each other a pound, how you been, you know, what's going on. And then it's like afterwards, like, that's Gerald. You know, I still have that fan respect for him, even though he's like a buddy of mine now. And I can't help that. He's the man, you know. And I've met some legends lately. To me, you know, I had a chance to play with Ricky Lawson before he passed. That was huge.
Oh, yeah, I bet. Oh, I'm so glad you had a chance to meet him.
Yeah.
Gosh.
And so I got a chance to, even if it was just for that one incident, to get to know him a little bit and get, now I see why everybody loved him so much, you know.
I had an experience
with Ricky. And another guy, Ronnie Foster, sat in with him with Darrell Williams, his open mic night just a few weeks ago. And Ronnie, you know, he's played on everybody's records. He's played with everybody. And he came in and did a song. And at one point, he started singing about Ricky. And the whole crowd just went nuts. And I was able to experience that. And then in a few weeks, Norman Connors is coming to Colorado. I get to open up for him.
Oh,
so,
whoa!
That's going to be, I can't wait for that. I'm like, wow.
Oh, man.
That's the kind of stuff that's like, you know, that keeps you going, like, oh, this is, you know, and that's Norman Connors. I'm like, man, I remember my mother playing that record over and over again.
Yes.
And then you hear it now, you're like, yeah, I remember grown folk parties, that record would come on, folks start slow dancing and whatever.
Yes.
So, I mean, you're like a little kid, like, oh, you know, they're dancing over there. And then you get grown, you're like, yo, that song's a joint, like, yo. So now I get to actually open for him and maybe, you know, interact with him and talk with him, and I'm looking forward to that. So that's the stuff that keeps you going right there.
Yes. Yeah. That's awesome.
We say new beginnings, new experiences to start out this year, to have that on my resume and in my hometown at that. Awesome.
Oh, yes. Nothing better. Woo. And you're going to have some oldsters and youngsters, all ages, all colors, all backgrounds for that
right.
show. And you are opening up yourself to a whole nother audience. I love
definitely,
it.
Definitely. So.
Well, yeah, listen, you know what? I'm going to let you go. This is crazy. Oh, my God. This is rare that this happens, by the way. So I'm really tickled that you had the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm glad you were able to get me on as quickly as possible. I know when I asked you, I was thinking maybe be down the road, but I'm glad we were able to finally do this, and I thank you for your constant support of all of us, and what you're doing. You know, your format is not compartmentalizing the music; it's just keeping the music out there, and to me, that's very important. And I will say this to you: people like you are going to be the reason why we can keep this music going.
Well, that's very sweet.
Just know that you're doing something that's probably bigger than yourself in terms of pushing the music forward and keeping all of us engaged and supporting the artists. It's so important. And if we didn't have people like you in this industry, us indie artists, we wouldn't stand a chance. So we rely on you for a lot. So you're doing something extremely important, and I applaud that.
I appreciate that, and look, the bigger picture is having the full-time hybrid jazz station on the air somewhere. Could be Colorado, yep. Hey. If we get the call in Colorado, it's going to come there. But, you know, it's got to translate into a commercial endeavor, Tony, and that way when it's commercial and people are making money, there's going to be more of these kinds of shows, but then they'll translate again into terrestrial radio, and that's the high hopes, because a lot of us haven't given up hope on regular radio. We've got to see jazz happen on it 24 hours a day.
Yeah, I think it's going to take that for them to say, whoa, we're losing it. We better get it back before it's totally gone. You know?
Yeah.
And then everybody can kind of coexist, you know. So what you're doing, hopefully they're listening. They're saying, okay, nobody's listening to us anymore. That's why we can't stay alive now everybody's, you know, on their, which is fine, you know, to be on the computer, on your phone, iPods or whatever, but it's just like they say, you know, we can do all the technological advances for, like, customer service, but there's nothing like human interaction when you go to a grocery store or a bank or the flower store or Walmart, you know, whatever. So you
yes.
can't replace the feeling that it had to turn on that radio when it's in your car or in your house or whatever. So it's like there's still a desire for that to be around.
Oh,
you just
yeah.
have to get them to see, like, okay, the old way of doing things and what you guys came up with obviously didn't work, so just, you know, let it go and give the people what they want. Let the radio stations be the people stations like they used to back in the day.
Oh,
you know, that was a
listen.
Part of your daily life.
Yes. Yes,
you know?
And now see, I'm visualizing the whole dadgum thing. I'm visualizing that there's going to be like this big party, this big festival to celebrate the Hybrid Jazz station, and you and Najee
yeah.
are like doing your thing on stage together. That would be
awesome. Oh, man, that'd be crazy. If I had a chance to sit in with him, oh, my goodness. Don't get me daydreaming about that.
Yes, speak it into existence. Let's do it, you know. Let's have that vision. And, you know, shoot, every chance you get, visualize that. No reason why that can't happen. No reason. So there.
Yeah, there it is. So next year we'll be like, yeah, so check us out, you know. Tony's going to be at the Hybrid Jazz, you know, Fest with Najee and Micah and
That's it,
you know,
Micah.
January 2015, we'll be there.
Remember where you were this time next year.
Right, right.
Tony, I'm going to see you one of these days down the road, I am.
Yes, yes. I will be, I'm working on a couple things in your area. I can't say just exactly yet because I haven't,
Ooh.
You know, signed on the dotted line, but it's something that's coming in the next few months. So I will definitely let you know as soon as it's in stone. But I'll definitely be back out there in the DMV very soon.
Well, all right. We'll get a little contingent. We'll get a bus,
yeah.
and we'll be the Tony Exum Jr. bus or minivan coming to wherever you are. I promise you. I promise.
Wonderful. Yeah, let's make it happen.
That is too cool. All right, let me know as soon as you do.
I sure will.
All right, and you know I'm going to end this with Can You Stand the Rain? Of course you know that.
All right, absolutely. Let's do it. Can You Stand the Rain, y'all, featuring Bobby Brown's backup singer and good friend, my best friend, Terrell Paul, a.k.a. Relion, on the vocals. Great song, classic. Trish, thank you so much.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate you, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. See ya.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Yes. Here we go from the one on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Let's go get wet.
This is Hybrid Jazz. Michael Ray, are you listening, son? Such a sweetheart. Arms wide open. Jesus is waiting. Love the title of that song. Love the CD, which is called Overdue. It's new. And Shawn Michael Ray, as you heard Tony Exum Jr. say, is one of those formidable bassists that just stops traffic when he starts playing. And look, if you're going to be touring with Maxwell, you got to know what you're doing. You know what I mean? So now Shawn is doing his own thing. He's from Alabama. He's based in Atlanta. He's going to have a CD release party coming up on the 16th at the Acoustic Jazz Restaurant and Lounge. Yes, yes. And I'm not sure who's going to be with him, but I am sure of who you just heard with him on that track. Mm. Lil Jon on drums. Yes, ma'am, yes, sir. Kelvin Wooten doing his thing. On the keyboard there. And just livening up the sound with the engineering and whatever else that Kelvin does, which is absolute magic. But I want to point your attention to the female vocal that you heard. When I heard the song, I did not have any of the liner notes because Shawn generously sent the whole album to me by way of MP3, so I didn't know. And we travel in the same circles. Shawn, his good friend for a long time, Eric Essex, and Shawn knows Tracy Hamlin, who will be on the show, by the way, on the 23rd. So everybody knows everybody, and I didn't know who this gal was. Turns out she's 16. Her name is Kayla Wheeler, otherwise known as Halo. Man. And she's got her own thing going on, but I didn't know any of this, and all I knew was that I thought Jesus was in the room when she was singing. All she had to do was sing Arms Wide Open, and I just felt the presence come down. It was just really special. Man, that was nice. And by the way, Shawn is going to be with us as of this morning. Yeah, my band was doing a lot of work before Hybrid Jazz got to be doing its thing, 1 o'clock this afternoon Eastern time. Shawn's going to be with us, let's see, after Tracy. I believe that we said the 28th, but I'll let you know more. He'll be in California at the time visiting his sisters, which will be very cool. So things will be nice and relaxed, and we'll get to hear some music. Oh, you'll be blown away. Get ready for this, because you talk about hybrid. Yeah, this is a capital H. We also heard from George Howard, Philly-born, got to say that, right off the top, 1956 he was born, and died too soon at the age of 41 of lymphoma. And that was Love Will Find a Way, which, if you've done a little bit of research, you know, was written by Greg Phillinganes and Lionel Richie. Dancing in the Sun was pivotal for George Howard on that beautiful saxophone. Went to number one on the Billboard charts, and 1985 was a big year for George because folks just saw this explosion of popularity. Such a beautiful soul. And when he departed this world, nobody could believe it because a lot of people didn't know that he was sick. Remind you of anybody in 2013? Let's not go there. You know who I'm talking about, but I had to play George Howard because he was one of the inspirations for Tony Exum Jr. And we heard Can You Stand the Rain, which is one of my favorite songs from Tony. And he knows that. And we have to give a little shout-out once again to his pal. And it really says a lot that Terrell was with Bobby Brown, and he and Tony are such good friends. Just when you feel a song, you hear the original, and then when somebody else does it, you before you hear it, you go, oh, geez, I wish they hadn't done that. But then when you hear it and somebody else feels it in a different way, so you hear the song in a different way, it means everything, doesn't it? So Tony got me falling in love with that song all over again. And there was already a lot of love. So now, Tony was in the first hour of the show, and an extra 30 minutes. So I'm thinking, what shall I do here? So let me see what I'm going to do. I'm just going to go back and, maybe I'll do this. Got to go back to the first page now and see, because I want to make sure that everybody who got listed earlier today gets a little of that attention, because it's just right. But I do want to play this song, so we'll have to. This is what I have to do. If you could only see my fingers working, because we have to go back and we have to use two fingers to get there. Yeah. Since we were talking so much about this gentleman during our interview with Tony, I thought we would play the track that we did not have a chance to play on Tuesday with Najee. This is a track that needs to get played because of all of what Najee said about not feeling confined and going back to the roots he had when he was a little guy, hearing his mom's record collection, hearing what was popping in New York. This is an homage to his neighborhood, W72 and Broadway, West 72nd and Broadway. In other words, from the morning after. This is a longer track. Get ready. This is a whole other side of Najee on Hybrid Jazz. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy from the 60s to the 70s.
What your good man do to you, cause these women nowadays, they ain't no good, they laugh in your face, they try to steal your man from you, now would be wise, keep your mouth shut, don't advertise your man, don't be honest.
Look like a highbrow.
Yeah.
I've seen it change it at least 3 times a day. What do you think she's doing now? Why you're so far away? She's loving your man in your own damn bed.
Yeah.
Better call for the doctor, mama. Got to be wise. Keep your mouth shut. Don't advertise your man. Watch your
food now.
They had too much fun. Can you tell by Sippy Wallace? Woo! That was so cool. Oh, Bonnie Raitt and Sippy. If you had never heard about this little blurb, let's just pass it along to you. You know, it's so important. I just posted on Facebook a little while ago that I wanted to play Tony Exum Jr., our guest today, and then follow Tony with George Howard, because inspirations really do mean something. It just paves the way for you to decide on whether you want to pursue music or whatever or not. So when you get a message like from Uncle Larry to Tony, promise me you won't give this up, it means a lot. And then you hear, or it's either a musical gesture, or somebody says something to you in your career, or you see somebody, before your career rather, or you see somebody do something so marvelous, it just clicks to you, you know what? I think I can do that. I think I want to do that. That is your gift from God. So Bonnie heard this song, Women Be Wise, Don't Advertise Your Man, back in the 60s. And when she heard Sippy Wallace do that, Bonnie decided that she wanted to pursue the blues. She felt it. She understood it. it was something that clearly clicked in her heart and soul. And she made it a point through the years not only to find and befriend Sippy Wallace, but paid some bills when times got hard for Sippy. This was back in 1972, you heard, at the Ann Arbor Blues Festival. And fast forward, years later, Bonnie Raitt collection. Here's that previously unreleased track on that album. And, man, it was just so wonderful to hear. Sippy Wallace was known as the Texas Nightingale. She was born in Arkansas, real small town. And then her daddy was a deacon, so things were a little dicey as far as, you know, mom and dad wanted her to hear anything more than church music. So Sippy used to sneak into the tent shows. And by the time she was a teenager, she was singing in the tent shows, and she became a formidable blues singer, you know, right up there with Bessie Smith and Ma Rainey. And Ma took an interest in Sippy at her young age. Born and died on the same day, 11-1-1898 to 1986. Something else. Woo! Love those little concoctions, those conglomerations of people who get together. Man, it's just no such thing as coincidence in the world, is there? No, and you're a liar if you say so. All right, now, let's not get ahead of ourselves. What do we hear? Charles Mingus, holy cannoli, 1963, 1964, thereabouts, from Mingus, or Five Mingus if you prefer. Eric Dolphy on this. Richard Williams on trumpet. Originally that song was Ease Flat Oz, flat two, on Blues and Roots from a few years prior, but this was Pumped Up. Hora Decubitus is the name of the song on Five Mingus. Man, Charles Mingus was something else, influential, inspirational, and sometimes completely irrational. Double bassist, band leader, composer, one of the most important figures in jazz, and died, by the way, on January the 5th, 1979. Very interesting lineage, and I'll just say this, we want to get on to more music so we can play some of the folks that we promised earlier today. But mom was partly Chinese, and dad was born to a slave and the granddaughter of the slave master. So there was all this Swedish and African-American and Chinese and assorted other blood in Mingus's system, and one of the most amazing lives of anybody that lived in jazz, no joke. I mean, Elvis Costello took a strong interest, did a piece of work. Ray Davies of the Kinks, you do a little research on that, you'll be dumbfounded. My son is reading Ray Davies' autobiography right now. Pretty cool kid. So you really do have to go back. There is, by the way, what is it called? I want to get this straight. Yeah, Mingus, just three of them, .com. And you'll find out some pretty up-to-date information because Sue, his widow, keeps the website up-to-date. Yeah, and we heard Najee. Yeah, we did. And that was from The Morning After. You heard a few songs the other day. I wanted to play one more because that was just so strong. God. Just so you know, on Valentine's Day, Najee just announced, we didn't have this information the other day, it's going to be in Long Beach. Beach, you listening in Southern California? I want you to know about this. He's going to be at the Terrace Theater with Marcus Miller and Huge Groove. Oh, that should be fun. And then he will be, even sooner than that, at the Jamaica Jazz and Blues Festival on the 31st of January. All these folks doing such exciting things. And more exciting things coming up from Bobby Humphrey. Can we go back to the 70s just a little bit? I really want to play this. Bobby needs to have a little airplay because it was just so cool. Do you realize the impact that a woman playing flute back in 1973 made on a CD that was strongly influenced by men who just gained such a foothold in not only jazz but funk that they were tearing up the joint? Mizell Brothers, Donald Byrd doing their thing. Well, the handprint of those fellas is on here. But Bobby Humphrey holds her own and then some. Chicago Dam from Blacks and Blues on Hyper Jazz. We'll be right back. Man, that song trips me out. Woo! I know that she is not the first person to have done it, but man, when you have a song that is redone by Michelle and Deggiocello, you better look out. Man, Love You Down from 2009's Devil's Halo CD, originally done in 1986 by Ready for the World. That was a monster song for those guys, and it's written by Melvin Riley Jr. of the group. Just a standout. When Michelle does it, especially so, because she is fearless. Master on bass songwriter, a chance taker, as you have never seen. She is doing a beautiful dedication to Nina Simone, which is also the name of her current CD. And part of that title in regard to Nina is in French, and I will not say it because someone who is far more experienced in saying French fluently and regularly can say it, but she is touring in support of these Nina Simone shows. And the thing is that Michelle is not doing what you would say. If you know anything about this artist, you know she's not going to do any impersonations per se or sound like Nina. It's just the inspiration, the reason why she was so infused with the music of Nina Simone. So Michelle wants to have you become inspired from the absolute magnitude of the songs that Nina sang. Michelle's going to be at the World Cafe Live at the Queen in Wilmington on the 29th, and also at Ram's Head in Annapolis, which is a pretty wonderful venue to see what she's going to do. She will enchant you, seriously. Oh, my God. She scares me. I'm just going to fess it. Tony Exum Jr. Unveiled his soul a lot today. I'll just say that to you. Michelle and Deggiocello scares me. If David Dyson is hearing this, he is hysterical. He worked with her for a while, our good friend on bass, and I'm sure she taught him a thing or two, and vice versa. Woohoo! Let's see. We also heard from Bobby Humphrey, just two songs in that set from 1973, Blacks and Blues. A jazz funk classic is what it is. The third album that Bobby did on Blue Note. Do you know that when Stevie Wonder was in his coma, it is said that part of the reason, strong reasoning, that made him come out was because of Bobby Humphrey's flute. He said that, just so you know. Bobby's got a lot of plans for 2014. Hopefully we can get her on the show and just hang sister to sister because I love her so much. She's planning to come to the Maryland area. If she is, I will keep you posted because there's no way we're going to miss that. Understand me? No way. Birthday guy today. He doesn't know I'm going to do this necessarily. Al D. Gregoris, or Al D. Gregoris, if you prefer. He doesn't care as long as you're going to buy Times and Travels. Love this song. We're going to take you to a few different countries in this next three-song set. Hopefully we'll have time for these three songs. But love this because Chris Standring is with Al on this song called Bamboo Forest on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you. de ioiô. É um pouquinho de Brasil, iaiá. Desse Brasil que canta e é feliz. Feliz, feliz. É também um pouco de uma raça que não tem medo de fumaça, que não se entrega, não. Isso aqui, oi, é um pouquinho de Brasil, iaiá. Esse Brasil que canta e é feliz.
Love that song. We don't hear her often enough. Eliana Elias. Woo. Isto aquí o que I? Which translates into basically this here. What is it? Or here's what it is. Written by Caetano Veloso. And Eliana has a little parenthesis next to it. Silver Sandal from her Light My Fire album from 2010. Just an exquisite voice. And I actually live vicariously through Amanda Brecker, who frequently has pictures of her mom or has an aside or two on Amanda's page. I really miss Amanda. I had such a good time with her when she was with us on Hybrid Jazz last year, which sounds weird now. But thank you, Amanda, for keeping us up to date. Eliana, of course, not her most recent work. She has Swept Away, and I Thought About You, that came about the year after that, 2012 and 2013, right? And she is going to be at one of the cooler places, literally and metaphorically, on February 14th, Valentine's Day, Eliana Elias will be at Jazz Aspen through the 16th, and then on to Denver, Oregon, Las Vegas, and Los Angeles. She will actually be at the same place where Lee Ritenour will celebrate his birthday, at Catalina Jazz. Yeah, Lee is turning 62. Yay! On January the 11th, he'll be at Catalina the 10th through the 12th. Make sure that you get your reservations in because it's going to be a packed house. Who knows who will show up? You know what I'm saying because you know who was on Rhythm Sessions. Phew. Even on Rose Petals, the song that we heard, and it's not your usual Rose Petals, it's P-E-D-A-L-S. Lee loves to tour Los Angeles. He's been doing this since he was a kid, just getting inspiration, going to his favorite haunts. Music comes to him. And he had on that particular track Nathan East, Will Kennedy, and Dave Grusin. So you know the kind of company that Lee is keeping. He will be, after his birthday celebration at Catalina, Tahiti on the 17th. Some people have all the luck, don't they? Al D. Gregoris, keyboardist and composer. Times and Travels, we heard Bamboo Forest with Chris Standring. Also on this project was Kieli Minucci, Eric Marienthal, Jeff Kashua, Joel Rosenblatt. Keeping good company as well. Al tells me on his birthday that he will be doing something special coming up this year, so we can expect a brand new CD. Sure hope so. Love to hear him. Great guy. Also a lawyer, by the way. So he comes in handy in a few different ways. And hasn't Mama Bear made use of that information? I really have. Oh, mercy. It's almost time, looking at the old clockaroonie on the wall, to bid you adieu, wackadoo. But I wanted to play this song because, speaking of birthdays, my friend here would have been celebrating his 68th birthday on the 12th. But he'll be celebrating in heaven with Corrine and a bunch of other folks that we know, including our wonderful Ricky Lawson, and many that we lost in 2013 and years beyond. Wanted to make sure that you knew that if you go to George Duke online, you will have an opportunity to honor his memory with, among other things, the I Have a Dream Foundation, which gives underserved African American and Latino kids in the Los Angeles area a chance to get a leg up. So if you are of a mind to, would you do that for George? This is going back to 1992. No Rhyme, No Reason from Snapshot on Hybrid Jazz. Thank you. see you on Tuesday with Denise Donatelli on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us. God bless you.